Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm okay. I guess the signal down here is breaking up. It's okay. Just about to begin their Sunday practice session. And, you know, I got to tell you, there's quite a buzz out here. The first few days have gone well so far, despite some of the injuries and, of course, the Golden Tate appealing of that PED suspension off of the fertility treatment. But the guys who have been on the field have made Coach Shurmur very pleased so far.
Well, let me get into the Golden Tate thing a little bit for those who are, you know, because we just hear four-game suspension, PEDs. Now, the story is he was prescribed a fertility treatment, and days after he started it, he found out that there was a substance in that was on the banned list, so he immediately reported it. And the league, I guess, I don't know whether they didn't buy it or the test was held in between. When was the test actually done? During the time that he was using the drug? Is that what happened?
Yeah, apparently he started the fertility treatment in April, and he was tested at that time. I don't know exactly the specifics of the dates that these things happened and if the fertility drug has a certain amount of lasting effects to where it will show up. So I don't know the answers to that. But what I can say is, he did go to the league, as you said. He did tell the Giants immediately what had happened, and the league ruled against him, as they did against Robert Mathis, the defensive lineman, several years ago, saying that, you know, that's no excuse. It clearly states in the CBA policy that you must be aware of everything you put into your body. And I quite frankly understand that. And, you know, did he violate it? Well, unknowingly or not, he did violate the policy, which is why some people say he has no chance to win his appeal. On the other side of it, though, and, you know, you want to try to use logic here. The guy's, you know, involved in a family planning situation in the off season, early in the off season, I might add. I got to wonder if the NFL shouldn't be rewriting that rule or at least check on how a fertility drug could somewhat enhance a player's performance, especially if it is going on months before the season begins. I question the validity of this particular ingredient, whatever it is, being included in the rule.
Well, I would just guess that, you know, fertility, you think testosterone, right? And you know that's something that apparently does improve performance, whatever. There's stuff in there that would help. So I don't know. I mean, it's I would love for one guy, and I don't know in any sport, baseball, football, any sport, to just say, yeah, you caught me, you know, because everybody says, no, I didn't do it, or it was a mistake or whatever. So who knows?
Well, I mean, yeah. Richard, to his credit, you know, he went right to the league and right to the Giants and said, look, this is a problem. I violated this.
Right.
I don't know.
But it was after the test.
I think there are guys who have done much worse in this league who have gotten off with less punishment. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what the league does, but I tend to agree with the past precedence is that, if you do it and you're supposed to know, well,
yeah.
You know, that's the rule.
Yeah.
So what can you do?
I'm on the same page with the Richard. I don't think he's going to beat it.
Okay, so, talking about beating it, now you got Sterling Shepard with a broken thumb. One would think that would heal and he'll be back. But you also have a guy that was returning kicks and, was looking pretty good as a potential receiver who has an ACL tear in Corey Coleman, who will not be back, it seems.
Yeah, that's true. Now, let's start with Shepard. He indicated that twice before he has had this fractured thumb situation and been able to overcome it relatively easily. He believes that within about 2 weeks or so, he'll be catching footballs again and has very little doubt in his mind that he'll be ready for week one against the Cowboys. Really isn't willing to discuss whether or not he'll play any preseason snaps. He says that's up to the team and the trainers, but he is extremely confident that he'll be ready for the opener. So, you know, that's really not much of a worry, at least so says head coach Pat Shurmur. The Coleman thing, look, the guy, he averaged 26 yards a kickoff return last year. He's probably, since the days of Dominic Hickson, the best return guy that the Giants have had back there. I know that, you know, David Wilson had that one spectacular year as a rookie, but, you know, Hickson was really reliable, and Coleman really helped tilt the field. Bad news is, you know, not only do you lose him on kick returns, but he also, you know, runs sub 4.4 and was going to help the receiving core with his burning speed. So right now, you know, they got themselves a shuffle as they try to figure out, you know, who will be the number three receiver.
Yeah, and that could be a problem, obviously, with this offense because, you know, you look at Saquon Barkley and, you know, Eli and everybody else that you got in your tight end situation. You really need to get that receiver core. Now, when they made the trade and let Beckham go to Cleveland, you figured, okay, they could probably, not going to get anybody as good as he, but they can probably make up for it in depth. And that's really what they've got. So what do they got in the background? They got Latimer, Fowler, Shepard, guys like that, who they hope to fill the void?
Well, you know what? And also, let's not forget Darius Slayton, the rookie out of Auburn who was taken this past spring, who also sub 4.4 speed, had dropsies in college, but did average 20 yards per catch while he was with the Tigers. Now, he came here at rookie camp, and that first practice, he had a lot of trouble holding on to the ball. And the reputation that he brought with him from the NCAAs seemed to follow him to East Rutherford. Since his second practice, however, the arrow has been up. And by the end of the rookie minicamps and then the veteran minicamps, it looked like he could be a legitimate threat to crack the top four, maybe top three. And now that Coleman's hurt, well, you know, he's nursing a hammy at the moment, is Slayton. But I think the Giants are very optimistic. He should be at least in the top four on this receiving depth chart.
Yeah, well, let's hope that that hammy thing is not as serious as sometimes they are. Offensive line, which obviously has been a bit of a problem for the Giants, as we all know over the last few years, finally looks, on paper at least, like it's really been solidified, doesn't it?
It really does. The acquisition of Kevin Zeitler at right guard, the best pass-blocking guard in the National Football League, according to the analytics people, also a stud run blocker, I might add. He has just been a breath of fresh air. He has come in here like with Nate Solder and become the two leaders of this offensive line. He's an absolutely mammoth man. I mean, I think if he stood in the middle of the Hudson River, he would clog it up from the Palisades all the way to the West Side Highway. He is so thick. He's a very impressive individual and dwarfs you when you just stand there to shake his hand. Great attitude, tremendous focus, and just a guy who has energized the entire line. And next to him at right tackle, of course, Mike Remmers, who at the end of last season had back surgery. The Vikings then agreed to give him his release when he asked for it. And to this point, he has not shown any signs of lingering effects from the back injury. And that's really good news for the Giants because the durability of him is going to be really key. Because Chad Wheeler, who was last year's right tackle, right now has been relegated to the swing tackle spot. And the truth of the matter is they need better out of that position. And Remmers is the kind of guy who can give that to them if he can stay on the field.
Turn your attention, Paul, to the Giants' defense and what you've seen so far. There's a lot of new faces there.
Very difficult because they put on pads yesterday for the first time in practice number three, and there was some contact and hitting. What we really can tell you a lot about are the skill position guys. Julian Love, the fifth rounder out of Notre Dame, was brought in as a corner, but since he has gotten here, he has played some outside, he has played some nickel, he has also played some free safety. They have given him a boatload to digest in that playbook, and he has been terrific. They're very happy with his football acumen, seems to always be in the right place at the right time. And, of course, that helps the depth at the safety spot when you consider they got two new guys back there in the veteran Antoine Bethea, who they got as a free agent. And, as we all know, Jabril Peppers came over in the trade for Beckham. That's really the storyline right now as far as the defense is concerned. It's the secondary. And we all know Janoris Jenkins is back again, and he's the old papa of the group. But it's these young fellas, the DeAndre Baker drafted in the first round who shows a lot of gumption and basically wants to dare quarterbacks to throw at him. And there's Love, as I mentioned. And, you know, there's Sam Beal coming back from last year when he was a redshirt rookie. And then, of course, there's Corey Ballantyne. the fellow who was shot and wounded in the glute. His friend was fatally shot. You all remember the story of the weekend of the draft. Today he spoke to the New York media for the first time, and he has gone through therapy. He's got his head on straight. He wants to honor his friend by making this Giants team, and he's off to a pretty good start right now, although he's a little bit behind on the playbook.
And Paul, just to get us up to date on what exactly happened there, because you remember there was all sorts of stuff. Well, what did you do and all that? And it seems like pretty much a case of mistaken identity, wasn't it?
It seems that way. Now, Ballantyne himself has said to us that he doesn't want to go into any details, but it was just wrong place at the wrong time. And it just happened, and he's really not going anywhere else with the story. He did, however, say he knows that, you know, he had nothing to do with the incident. He was just an innocent victim, and of course, his friend tragically killed. And his only thoughts were, let me honor my friend by making this team and making him proud, because I know how hard he worked to push me and to make me a better player. And also, he said he's happy that the authorities have somewhat sorted through this. I believe the investigation is still somewhat continuing, although they seem to have at least a bead on what happened. He's not going anywhere with that, other than to say, I'm glad that the authorities are moving along with this, going in the right direction, and finding out from the appropriate people what it is that went down.
Well, we buried the lead a little bit here, but this is something that we're going to be talking about a lot, I'm sure, as training camp progresses, and that is Daniel Jones, the first-round pick for quarterback. Everybody that I've talked to seems very impressed with him as a kid, that he's very mature, he's very smart. And, you know, so far, so good, right?
No question, Richard. You know, I tell people all the time, to this point, he has checked all of the boxes. The problem is, he's only a rookie. He's only gone through spring drills and now is entering his fourth day of his first professional training camp. So when you check all the boxes, that really doesn't mean a whole lot right now, because it is such a small sample size and he hasn't faced a live pass rush yet. So, you know, there's still a lot to go. But checking all the boxes to this point is better than not checking all of the boxes. And the one thing that the Giants really seem to like, and only the coaches and the players can know this because we don't have access to the playbook, is that he's absorbing things very quickly. He's showing poise. He is showing smarts. He's making the right decisions. And, you know, if you're the Giants, boy, that's a good head start for sure.
Yeah, no question about that. And the Beckham stuff, I mean, I think it's just like a total stupid distraction. You know, he's with another team now. It doesn't matter. Whatever he says is water under the bridge. And, you know, I kind of sympathize with Gettleman just saying, hey, look, enough of these questions, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he's gone. And that's it. Done deal. Now, you know what's going to happen, Richard. The Cleveland Browns come and play a Monday Night Football game against the Jets at MetLife Stadium. I guess it's the night after the I guess week two, is it, or whatever. I know it's a weekend when the Giants are around as well. So the entire New York media is going to pepper Beckham at the Jet game to ask him about the Giants. So that's going to be quite a circus for sure. I would hope that's the end of it and we don't have to hear any more ever again. However, the Cleveland Browns, by the schedule rotation of the National Football League, will be on the Giants' schedule in 2020. So it will return at some point in time.
Well, who knows where any of us will be in 2020. It's not that far away, though, is it? Final thing, Gettleman looks good. I mean, you know, recovering and in remission, and, you know, he seems to be energetic and on top of things, so that's a good sign.
Indeed. And, you know, he just told us the other day at his State of the Giants presser that he is just thrilled because this time last year, you know, he was fighting a very serious form of cancer. And, you know, he went through aggressive rehab and has gotten the green light. I mean, to this point right now, all systems are go. It looks like he's beaten it, but you know, Richard, anyone who has dealt with such a dreadful disease, you know, they got to wait several years before they really give you that green light and cement. But to this point, all the signs and all the hurdles that Gettleman has had to face have been cleared with flying colors, and he is just so grateful for that more than anything right now. Although I will tell you, he does have a smile on his face about this football team, because he believes that after two off seasons at the controls, he's got the Giants in the right direction.
We shall see. Okay, Paul, thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you real soon.
Oh, you bet, Richard. Always good to be with you.